Beijing citizens will say goodbye to the city's low-price transportation system next month, with the municipal government announcing subway and bus fare hikes. The new fares, which formally take hold on December the 28th, put bus fares starting at 2 yuan and subway fares at 3 yuan. The new fares would double the current prices on average, but will include some discount schemes. 北京市正式公布了公共交通票价调整实施方案，和现行的全路网两元票价相比，调整后的北京地铁采用按里程分段计价，遵循加价递延递减的原则。So the first question, the very big one that everybody has been thinking since the news is out, and that is, how is it really going to affect us and how much?
Yes. Okay, let's do a little bit of calculation, I suppose. And it's actually quite a big deal for people because I think it's going to affect a lot of us. So according to the pricing adjustment plan, the minimum price for a subway ride will be 3 yuan, which covers a ride of 6 kilometers. And the subway fare will cost 4 yuan if the ride is between 6 to 12 kilometers, 5 yuan for 12 to 22 kilometers, and 6 yuan for 22 to 32 kilometers. There's a lot of numbers, and it got me confused. And another thing to bear in mind is that there is no ceiling to the subway fare, so the further you go, the more you're going to pay.
Yeah, but I mean, there is an effective ceiling in the sense that there is no maximum price set. But after 32 kilometers, if you ride 32 kilometers, then one renminbi is added after every 20 kilometers. And so, I mean, it really you have to be riding the subway pretty much all day in order to really get much higher than about 6 renminbi. I think really what we're going to see for a lot of people traveling longer distances, it's going to be between 6 to 7. And the upper end is going to be 8 renminbi per ride. Because again, I mean, 32 kilometers is a long, long way. I mean, even going from Sihuidong to Pingguoyuan,
right,
it is not even 32 kilometers, right?
Exactly.
So, but at the same time, I think, you know, even fairly shorter distances, or what I consider to be fairly short distances, mostly I suppose because my commute is so long, fairly short distances are the only ones eligible for the minimum price. And so from Guomao to Tiananmen West is within that 6 kilometers. Mm-hmm. Guomao to Xidan is just outside that, so it's 4 renminbi. So Guomao to Tiananmen West, that's 6 stops. So on average, a kilometer per stop.
Yeah.
And that's 3 renminbi.
So
3 renminbi ride.
Basically, what people are going to find is that if you travel a very, very short distance, then it's going to stay at 3 yuan. But usually when people take subway, they are going to a pretty faraway place, I would assume, at least several stops. So a lot of people are going to be paying in the 4-5 yuan zone, I think.
Yeah, within that range. But I think when it comes to traveling, especially for most of us who travel to work and go home, but also by taking the subway, this affects you a lot, because when you do the round trip, then you add like 5 to 5 or 6 to 6, then that's about 10 or above. And in the past, it used to be 2 yuan times 2. So that is going to be a major difference for a lot of people. So before we get too angry about this, because I certainly don't like it, and let's look at the discounts and see if it makes a lot of sense for people. So passengers who spend 100 yuan within a month on public transportation will enjoy a 20% discount on exceeded fare prices up to 150 yuan within the same month. And after reaching that 150 yuan, they will see a price fare cut by 50% for the exceeded part. But once you go to the next month, you know, all the discounts have to be accumulated from zero again.
Exactly.
That doesn't really sound all that user-friendly.
No, I mean, so Hoyoung mentioned getting angry about it, and I think it's natural for people affected by these types of policies. Any time a public good has its price raised, people are getting pretty angry. I mean, if we look at Indonesia, for example, right now, their newly elected president just raised the price of gas. Everyone, of course, is not very happy about that, but it's for the country, it's a good thing. And I think, you know, for Beijing, it is a good thing. I mean, having 2 renminbi as a flat fare for a subway system that is the largest in the country, and perhaps even the most sophisticated in the country, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's just that is way too cheap. And I think that really, I mean, with the price increases that we're looking at, they are fairly moderate. Again, it is a very affordable method of transportation, one of the most affordable across the entire country. We see newer subway systems are actually charging quite a bit more than what we have in Beijing. And so I think that before we do get angry, and, you know, certainly that was my first response as well, we need to put it in context, you know, but definitely it is going to affect people's wallets negatively. But really, I think this is just part of a normalization of the subway fares. What really bothers me about this program, about the pricing scheme, is that it's too simple. It's way too simple, and so all it does is calculate based on distance that you ride. You know, one of the excuses that they're giving us for raising the fare is that it will cut down on rush hour traffic. But if you make no stipulations about rush hour pricing,
Exactly. Then
it's not going to stop people, because it's going to be the same exact price, you know, from between 8 and 11 as it is between 11 and 1, right? And so I think in that sense, and also, I mean, this discounting thing, it gives no room for people like me who travel longer distances every single day, who are heavy users of the transportation system.
Yes, and I think those are some really good points. And for those exact reasons, I think it's going to push people to go travel by car, I think, because by the sound of it, it doesn't really make traveling by subway all that more attractive anymore.
Well, I think that's one of the larger arguments. Everyone's saying that everyone's going to start moving to a car, but I mean, it's difficult to buy a car these days in Beijing. You need to have gotten the lottery for the license plate to actually get a car in the first place.
Well, there's a whole bunch of people, because of all those preferential policies of cheaper car pricing, etc., those of us who have bought a car in the last few years, and when you have a choice of going underground or above, and it seems like maybe now I should just drive that car when usually it should be sitting in the garage.
Yeah, no, I don't see that. I mean, paying for gas per kilometer is still going to be more expensive than riding the subway per kilometer.
True, but now I think back to what we've talked about earlier, the ticket fare is quite a bit more expensive now when you do the math.
Yeah, but still, I think we have to look at the larger picture instead of how we feel after we have to spend more money. Because if you only look at how much more money we are going to spend, yes, we're going to spend a lot of more money.
I mean, but you know, compared to other cities,
exactly. That's what I'm going to say. You know, I agree with John that, you know, compared with the world, Beijing has one of the cheapest, bus and subway fares. If you look at any larger city, Paris, London, New York, they're flat rate is more than 8 renminbi.
Yeah, you know? but at the same time, that's what really bugs me about this scheme, is that, you know, that it is in New York and London especially, I mean, we're looking at fairly high fares for the subway, but there are special types of cards, you know, depending on what type of traveler you are. I mean, if you're a tourist, you can get a tourist card that is discounted to a certain degree. I mean, if you're only taking one trip, well, then you pay the full price. If you are a regular commuter, you can get a special type of card, like a monthly or even yearly pass, that will give you certain types of discounts, because they realize that on the one hand, you know, that the metro system, it does need to raise more money in order to support itself for maintenance, for salaries, and so on and so on. But we don't want to gouge the end user, and I think that when we look at the plan here in Beijing, they really haven't taken the end user into account in many of this, and so the planning, I mean, you know, fine, again, it is, you know, very still quite cheap, but the simplicity of it just really, really bugs me.
Yes, I think with the simplicity, I have something to say too, because I think it doesn't really make all that sense to just simply count your fare by how many stations you've traveled to. I think when you look at the London example, which is going by zones, as sort of they categorize a zone as within the area within a loop. So usually, you know, in the central zone, I think it's the same
it's
in Beijing.
Expensive.
It's more expensive, and that's because where the most busy sites are,
exactly.
probably. And then it makes sense sort of to have the pricing to deter some people from going and, you know, diverting traffic, all that kind of thing. And here we're just seeing in Beijing a very simplistic way of counting by stops. And I don't think it's really all that good as a plan.
Sorry, I just want to mention really quickly one of the other things that bugs me besides the plan in and of itself. I mean, so the Beijing government is saying the reason they need to do this is because of, you know, the subsidies reaching, what is it, 8 million renminbi?
18 billion.
18 billion by the end of this year. But my question is, I mean, looking at all the advertisements, this is a question I've raised many, many times when we talk about this. Looking at the number and the quantity, the size of advertisements throughout the entire subway system, I just want to know how much they're making from that. I mean, just a look into their books to really see, you know, what type of pricing is justified, and they're not giving us that look at all.
Exactly. I think that is definitely important. But in terms of zoning, I think zoning is a great idea, and a lot of cities, London and also Paris, have this kind of zoning scheme, and you pay according to which zone you're traveling to and from. But the thing is that in Beijing, it's not quite possible just yet, because almost all of the subway line will pass the most densely populated area, that is the city center, because
Beijing subway takes the point, though.
Of a spider web.
Yeah, but if we look at the example of London, the thing is, it's all about traveling inside zones or in whether you cross into another zone. And so the idea being is that if you cross into the more expensive zone, you're going to pay more. And if you get off there, you're going to end up paying more. But if you cross into the original zone, but even though you go through the central zone, you won't actually end up paying as much.
I see. So that is still this is something that the Beijing government needs to study a bit more. But, you know, one good thing that to say for them that is that they do intend to, you know, release a differentiated pricing system between the peak time and the non-peak time next year.
So after a year of being gouged and paying too much money and not being able to take advantage of these cockamamie discount schemes, then perhaps I'll actually finally get some benefit out of this.
Yeah, right. And here Bella says, I think raising public transport prices will drive some people who do not earn so much monthly salary out of Beijing. I mean, I'm not sure whether it's that bad, but
they can still take the bus,
which is also more expensive.
But if you have a transport card, it's only 1 kwai.
Yeah, but 1 kwai may still be, you know, much for people who think that 40 cents is just the okay price, I guess.
Well, then they probably shouldn't be living in Beijing in the first place.
Well, either some people, I think, are going to be driven out of Beijing purely because of economic pressure and all this price rise in so many different ways and aspects in our lives. And also, I think maybe we'll see a more crowded scene on the buses, since now buses seem, although there has been a price hike, but it's still far more affordable.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, we can make a lot of predictions now. I think that we're probably all going to be wrong to a certain degree. And I am actually curious to see how this is going to play out. Mm. Because I get on the subway anywhere between 7 and 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. And so I'm just really curious to see what rush hour time is going to be looking like.